morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is December 17th, 2021. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hectic Witches Planner. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "You are very powerful, provided you know how powerful you are." So what are we drinking today? We are drinking orange besom tea from sipaspell.com. It is basically a tea kind of modeled after the chocolate orange. So it has pura tea, orange, cacao nibs, corn flowers, along with chocolate and orange flavoring. It has caffeine. It is, in my opinion, ideal for the darker half of the year. If you like chocolate oranges, you will like this. So we're going to talk today about chocolate. Rah, rah, rah. I love chocolate. I have always been like the higher the percentage, the better type of person. Like, I love chocolate. Always a little disappointed by milk chocolate. Really not into white chocolate. I like the dark chocolate because, like, the darker it gets, the, like, almost, like, fruitier it gets. I'm just super into it. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the health facts of chocolate. And this comes to us from medicalnewstoday.com. Number one, cholesterol. One study published in the Journal of Nutrition suggests that chocolate consumption might help reduce LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. It can be said to help cognitive function. Scientists at Harvard Medical School have suggested that drinking 2 cups of hot chocolate a day could keep the brain healthy and reduce memory decline in older people. The researchers found that the hot chocolate helped improve blood flow to parts of the brain where it was needed. Heart disease. Research published in the BMJ suggests that consuming chocolate could help lower the risk of developing heart disease by 1/3. Based on their observations, the authors concluded that higher levels of chocolate consumption could be linked to a lower risk of cardiometabolic disorders. Next is stroke. Canadian scientists in a study involving 44,000 individuals found that people who ate one serving of chocolate were 22 less likely to experience a stroke than those who did not. Also, those who had about 2 ounces of chocolate a week were 46% less likely to die from a stroke. Fetal growth and development. Eating 30 grams, about 1 ounce of chocolate every day during pregnancy might benefit fetal growth and development, according to a study presented at the 2016 pregnancy meeting of the Society for Maternal and Fetal Medicine in Atlantic, Georgia. Then athletic performance. Findings published in the Journal of International Society of Sports Medicine suggest that a little dark chocolate may boost oxygen availability during fitness training. Let's talk about light chocolate versus dark chocolate. So manufacturers of light or milk chocolate claim that their product is better for health because it contains milk, and milk provides protein and calcium. But supporters of dark chocolate point to the higher iron content and levels of antioxidants in dark chocolate. So they broke it down. Honestly, looking at it, I'm just going to give you like a rundown. I'm not going to go over the numbers because how boring. So the calories are about the same. There is a little more protein in milk chocolate, but honestly not that much more. About the same carbs, about the same fats, actually dark chocolate has less sugar, a smidgen less. Dark chocolate has a lot more iron. Milk chocolate has more phosphorus. Potassium is about the same. Oh, sodium. Wow. So dark chocolate has much, much, much less sodium than milk chocolate. Milk chocolate has more calcium. And then milk chocolate has a lot more cholesterol. So I guess it's just depending on what you're looking for. Yeah. I guess if you need more protein, phosphorus, sodium, calcium, and cholesterol, you want to go with milk. But if you want more, let's see. If you want more iron, then you can go with dark. But it has less cholesterol, less sugar. Yeah, that's about it. That's about it. Less sodium and less sugar and less cholesterol than milk. So, I mean, it's really similar, though. Like, these are really small differences. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from Psychology Today. Is it better to be spiritual or religious? So a new study explores the psychological benefits of non-religious spirituality. We're not going to go over the entire article, but we are going to go over some of the key points. And this was written by Mark Travers, PhD, with Social Instincts. It was reviewed because it's Psychology Today, so it's reviewed by other people as well. So the key points is a new study suggests that there may be fewer differences than expected between people in an organized religion and those who practice spirituality. Both traditionally religious and non-religious but spiritual individuals scored higher on measures of life satisfaction than non-religious or spiritual people. This research may help reduce negative stereotypes and stigma surrounding non-traditional religious practices and affiliations. So they really focused on well-being, meaning in life, depression, and delusional ideation when doing this survey. So yeah, that seems to be the main points. Quote, the main conclusion was that there were relatively few differences between people who identified with non-religious spirituality and people who identified as traditionally religious. Says the researchers, participants from these two groups showed similar patterns on all the major variables of depression, delusion ideation, subjective well-being, and sense of meaning. These findings provide evidence that at least psychologically speaking, non-religious spirituality and traditionally religious participants may be more similar than different. This author hopes that their work reduces negative stereotypes and stigma surrounding non-traditional religious practices and affiliations. Nice. I was like, I like that. That's nice. All right, so I'm going to throw this over to our Moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, December 17th. The waxing gibbous moon bounces jauntily about in Gemini's shifting winds today. Here, the moon continues to oppose Mars and trine Saturn. Today is all about teamwork. You may find it nearly impossible to get anything done on your own. Either things aren't lining up the way they need to, or you don't have the resources that you require to get things going. Sometimes it's hard to reach out to someone and admit that you need help. It can make you feel very vulnerable, and you may feel that asking for help is a sign that you are weak or that you have failed. But sometimes, asking for assistance is the strongest move you can possibly make. With these energies supporting you, you will get the exact leg up that you need if you'll only ask for it. Your daily moon mantra is, teamwork makes the dream work. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
We have been obsessed with predicting the future ever since the dawn of civilization. We've watched the stars, gazed into crystal balls, thrown bones, and read cards with the hope of getting a glimpse of future events. We have found ways to divine with just about everything, all in an effort to better understand ourselves and our place in the magical world. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is your guidebook to a variety of divination practices. Did you know that you can divine with wine? Or that a simple pair of dice can give you prophetic insight? Or that candle wax may help answer questions about your inquisitive inquiries. This book will help you predict the future through a variety of insights and sometimes unusual techniques. This greatly expanded second edition offers extended interpretations, additional reflective passages, and even more choices of curious divination to try. Learn different methods for awakening your psychic abilities to support your exploration into divination. Learn how to scry, use dowsing rods, read tea leaves, work with runes, see auras, decipher omens and clouds, and much more. A curious future can help you move forward into a mystical and inspiring path. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is now available for pre-order on Amazon and other places books are sold. All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners. This comes to us from listener Sarah. Sarah says, "Hi all. I recently had someone reach out requesting a spell or magic working be done for them. The individual recently had a job interview which went really well, but now they are waiting on a callback and job offer. Any recommendations on a spell I can do to draw or tie the opportunity to them?" Off the top of my head, I can't think of one, but we know what you could do, and this is really a fun little divining spell, is so you take acorns and you take a bowl of water. So put the bowl of water in front of you, kind of spin the water, and then drop in the acorns, two acorns. If the acorns attract and stay together, they're most likely to get the job. If the acorns separate and move away from each other, they won't get the job. That's just like a little thing. I don't even remember where I found it, like years and years and years ago, but I did it for a few jobs back a while ago, and it worked. It's a nice divining system. But here's the thing. I sometimes get worried because you don't want to tie jobs to them that, like, they shouldn't get. I think the best thing is to prepare your friend to get the job she is supposed to have. I really do believe in kind of universal, not fate, but that you will get the job you're meant to have. And if you don't get a job, there's a reason for it. And as I've gotten older and I've been a witch longer, I've kind of learned that instead of tying people to like this job or that thing, tie them to having the best opportunity for them. So maybe do spell work that is more geared towards making sure she gets what she needs when she needs it, and less of this specific thing or this specific person. I have just found it typically works out better. The spells are usually more successful, and you have kind of better outcomes, less spell regret, I guess. Lilith said, "I would do a spell for your friend's confidence and for them to receive what they need to live their best life." Yeah. "Maybe a candle spell to attract the light, to light all the things in her world that will add to it. You can gift her the candle and she can light it when she needs a little boost or in the evening. If you give people a ritual, it's easier for them to focus. In my experience, don't tie or force or try to control an outcome unless you are very, very sure of its higher purpose. Early in my career, I really wanted a specific job. I didn't get it, so I was pissed. I immediately went job hunting for something else. 3 weeks later, I had a job that flew me around the world first class and put me in charge, an experience I never would have had without that initial disappointment." So I agree. I mean, you can always, if you really want to tie things together, you can always do spells to make that happen, candle spells, jar spells. If you have a business card from the place, you can put that in like a honey jar. I mean, there are ways to do it, but I do agree. Again, this just comes with experience. I'm not trying to tell you what to do or what not to do, but with experience, I have found that doing spell work with the idea of them getting what's best for them versus a specific thing just leads to happier outcomes. But yeah, I hope that helps. But yeah, try the acorn divination. I know it's silly, but it works. It works. All right, so we have a witch win. This comes to us from listener Eek. Eek says, "I did want to celebrate a witch win I've had recently. A while back, I mentioned that I had continuous, relentless nightmares for months, and it felt like I might have had a negative presence as it kind of bounced between me and my boyfriend for a month. Well, soon after I sent that post in, I tried out an egg cleanse for the first time, and it showed something negative was going on. I sprinkled sea salt over it and flushed it down the toilet. That night, and then on, I stopped having nightmares. Oh, congratulations. Oh, I love hearing when things work out. All right, so we're moving on. We're going to talk about Saturnalia. We are moving into that time. This comes to us from LearnReligions.com with Patty Wingington. Saturnalia. It starts today. Today, my friends. When it comes to festivals, parties, and downright debauchery, no one beats the folks of ancient Rome. Around the time of the winter solstice each year, they celebrated the festival of Saturnalia. As the name implies, this holiday is in honor of the agricultural god Saturn. This week-long party typically began around December 17th, so that it would end right around the day of the solstice. So there are fertility rituals performed, including sacrifices, in addition to large public rites. Many private citizens held ceremonies honoring Saturn in their homes. One of the highlights of Saturnalia was the switching of traditional roles, particularly between a enslaver and the enslaved. I don't know, that seems weird. Everyone got to wear freedmen's hats, and the enslaved were free to be as impertinent as they wished to their owners. However, despite the appearance, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're like, well, there's strict boundaries. Well, yeah. According to History.com, beginning in the week leading up to the winter solstice and continuing for a full month, Saturnalia was a hedonistic time when food and drink were plentiful and the normal Roman social order was turned upside down. For a month, the enslaved would become the enslavers and peasants were in command of the city. Business and schools were closed so that everyone could join in the fun. Wow. I'm going to be honest, I never really looked into Saturnalia before. Citizens decked their halls with boughs of greenery and even hung small tin ornaments on bushes and trees. Bands of naked revelers often roamed the streets, singing and carousing as a sort of naughty precursor to today's Christmas caroling. Not everyone was down with this, though. Someone said, quote, "When I retire to this garden summer house, I fancy myself 100 miles away from my villa and take special pleasure in it at the feast of Saturnalia, when by the license of that festive season, every other part of my house resounds with my servants' mirth. Thus, I neither interrupt their amusement nor they my studies." In other words, Pliny didn't want to be pestered by merrymaking and was perfectly happy to indulge in the solitude of his country home away from the debauchery of the city. Saturnalia was considered a holy day after all. It was held in honor of a major god, and so a number of religious rituals took place during the festivities. According to early legends, Saturn himself was so sacrificed. So in some areas, mock sacrifices of the god took place. In some temples, an ivory statue of Saturn was portrayed with linen and woolen bonds around the feet and ankles. During Saturnalia, these bonds were loosened to represent Saturn's liberation, and the ritual is typically followed by an elaborate public banquet. Man, the Romans really, like, didn't mess around. Romans were intense. If I've learned anything, the Romans were intense. All right, let's move on. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Lauren Wilson. Lauren, you talented, glorious muskox. I also want to give a shout out to listener Garasu. Garasu, you thoughtful, glorious fae queen. And then finally, Christina Garrettson. Christina, you wicked, badass dragon. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate you. Now, before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card today is the Firefly. This is all about illuminate, glow, and hope. The unassuming Firefly appears quite ordinary in daylight. However, its magic turns on at night as it illuminates against the dark sky as if one of the stars. The Firefly lights a path for you to shine and asks you to forego the world of external appearances to look within. Give yourself permission to ignite your inner gifts. The light that Firefly uses is a means of communication, especially in mating rituals, with specific messages of attraction embedded in every flicker. The Firefly would like you to trust that you are drawing the right people into your life. Not everyone belongs in your circle, and those who do will find you. However, you must also lay the groundwork and meet the universe halfway. Fine-tune your flicker and core beliefs, and you will attract those like-minded beings you've been waiting for. In doing so, you take on a conscious approach to life. It isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again next week. All right. Bye.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.